because it was an interesting article. There were a couple published, but one in particular caught my attention in USA Today. And it said, if you've met one kid with autism, you've met them all.
Hmm. No.
Yeah.
That's the exact opposite.
That's how they got my attention, because they said, oh, but that's not true. See, and it was interesting because that's how they caught my attention. And it's interesting because once I read that, I'm like, oh, I see what you're trying to illustrate. You want to talk about being on the spectrum.
Right.
That there are so many different aspects to this, which is one of the things that's caused us such a hard time in dealing with it.
And catching it early in the diagnosis. It is a spectrum disorder, so it does. It looks completely different in one child from the next. Even twins are completely different.
Oh, that's a new one to me. I wasn't aware of that we had that information. It was interesting because you talked about earlier diagnosis, but they said the problem is the earlier you start working with youngsters on this, the better outcomes. But being able to diagnose them very early is very difficult, especially if they're, say, two.
Yes. And the reason why that is because some of the things, you know, we always talk about children develop on their own time or at their own level of pace. But that there's certain red flag warnings, like there's nonverbal. My son, for instance, happened to be nonverbal. The toe walking, the hand shaking, the stimming, not playing with toys appropriately, just not even playing with toys.
And eye contact. Which is one of the things, and I think it's because of what I do for a living that I have a tendency to, you know, focus in on somebody, and then I notice it, and see what's interesting is until you become a little bit indoctrinated, you think, well, what a rude young man.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come through the funnel and you understand he's doing the best that he can be or she can do.
Absolutely.
That it's a struggle on both ends, and those of us who are more able-bodied in that case can become frustrated. And this is something that you and I have talked about in the past, and I think it's worthy of exposure again, too, that sometimes people pass judgment in public places, even insert themselves, thinking, well, you've got a behavior problem, when actually you have a medical problem.
Absolutely. And with autism being one of the invisible disabilities, it does leave you open to a lot of judgments and predisposition for, you know, anxiety for the parents to say, do I really want to risk going to the grocery store or can I stop at this restaurant? But I just like to say that with the promotions that we've done and, you know, being on the radio, people will call and ask us questions. I've had parents call me and say, you know what, at the park, I had a wonderful experience when I was just so ready to jump up and, you know, and be on guard, that it ended up being a wonderful experience because you get that exposure.
Right.
But it is. It's very hard because, again, myself, before I was living this, you know, I was one of those people in the store that were like, oh, here we go. You can't go to Walmart without hearing a couple tantrums and a few meltdowns.
And so what you do is you continue to build on this. And the reason why I ask is one of the projects that Stephanie and others have taken on is called the Buddy Bench,
mm-hmm.
Which you've seen because when you and I first talked about it, it was just an idea.
It was just an idea.
And it's not an idea anymore. It's a reality.
Yeah. So the Buddy Bench idea that when we talked about it, it was just an idea. It was just the concept of how can we bring this to Southern Illinois and how can we teach our local kids about, you know, choosing kindness? Because really, we don't give kids enough credit. You know, we sell them short sometimes. There are some really awesome kids who will just come up and automatically take on being that person's friend. It's the kids who don't know how to ask for that help that the Buddy Bench is designed for.
I think about this as an internal vocabulary. You just don't have the tools in your tool chest yet.
Exactly.
And so we've got to help people with that. I mean, because I've struggled with trying to understand this. Because I made a promise to myself when I was quite young to never, ever forget what it was like to be a kid. I've tried to hold with that because of how raw and fresh and new your emotions are. And then you don't have all the tools to describe, or even in your own mind, to talk to yourself about what's going on, which is what we all do.
Absolutely.
And I think that's one of the reasons why you and I, you know, when we're on the radio, I universally have great feedback.
Well, and the best thing about kids, you know,
You prefer them to adults? Sounds, is that what you were getting ready to say?
Might be a little creepy to say that, but yeah.
It's all right. I think
I do prefer kids to adults because kids have no agenda. There's no hidden agenda. There's no, let me see what I can do with this
they
person.
They are, what comes to mind comes out of the mouth, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and they just want to have fun. Who doesn't want to be around kids who want to have fun?
I thought
fun?
The same thing. I was telling someone yesterday about the great group of kids I dealt with during the radiothon for St. Jude, and they were from New Simpson Hill and just the best kids.
They are. Kids are. Again, I think sometimes we do sell kids short. I've had some experiences where, you know, I'll use Mason for example. He has a little friend in class. Mason hates the birthday song. I don't know what it is with the autism kids, but they hate that song.
That's interesting.
So we were brave and we went to a birthday party, his first birthday party that he actually got to go and attend. Again, that's just a normal milestone for many children.
Right.
But to us it was a big deal. This little girl on her 8th birthday, when it was time for them to sing, now this is her party, mind you.
Right.
When it was time for them to sing happy birthday to her, she stopped the party and she said, wait a minute. And she said, Mason, they're getting ready to sing happy birthday. Do you need to go for a walk? So she knew him so well
right. That
she knew that he needed to leave and come back. And instead of, you know, hurrying up and blowing out the candles when they were done singing, right. She stopped, went and got him. And came back.
Oh, my goodness. A child with impulse control.
I know.
Isn't that great? But isn't that a great story?
It is.
It's, you know, Autism Awareness Month. It was World Autism Day on Monday. And coming up, fundraiser, Color Run.
Yep. Color Run is April 21st. We have free kids events. So if you have some kids and you want to come out, it starts at 11 o'clock. It's at SIU, Lou Hartsock Track and Field. We have bounce houses, Mr. Twist, lots of fun. The fire department will be there. It's a good time. The color run starts at 1:30. Toss some color on you.
How do you sign up?
You go to runsignup.com, or you can go on our webpage on Facebook and link up and get tickets.
What's the deadline for signing up?
It is April, Monday.
It's Monday, this coming Monday?
This coming Monday.
Also, then you need to get that done.
Yes.
And then hit the treadmills to get ready.
Well, I personally walk.
Yeah. You do have the option, by the way. Which is always good for those of us who wonder whether we'll make it to the end. So Stephanie Brown, Southern Illinois Autism Society, the fight goes on.
Every day.
And, you know, and what's really, we keep looking at this, and there's more and more ideas about why and how we can deal with this. But the numbers of people who are dealing with this, and the fact that there are a great many parents who aren't on the radio describing their personal experiences, but they're waging that battle to help their kids and hopefully grow them and assist them to the point where they can be self-sustaining. And that's another item in that USA Today report that I read. More and more people with autism in the workplace.
Absolutely.
Which is something that many people wouldn't have believed would ever happen. But it is. It's happening.
It is. And think about it from an employer inspective. Who wouldn't want to hire a person on autism spectrum? They're focused to detail. They stay task oriented. You know, if you give them a job, they are going to make sure they do that job and they do that job well.